A very good morning to you, my dear listener. Good morning, Namibia. Welcome to Eagle FM. It's a Thursday morning, the 18th of December. The year is coming to an end. The year is 2025. Good morning, and welcome to your number one talk radio station. My name is Mike Oshoveli. And so how are you? Most of you could be on holiday. Where are you on holiday? And well, if you want to continue listening to Eagle FM, wherever you are on holiday, make sure that you download your Eagle FM mobile app so that you remain connected to Eagle FM wherever you are. So be on the go kind of person like me. So wherever you go, you are connected to your favorite show, and also a lot of features that you find on our Eagle FM mobile app. So good morning to you, and how are you then? How are you wherever you find yourself in this beautiful, beautiful land of the brave? I think every part of the country have received some rain. It's becoming a little bit, it's slowing down a bit. Yeah, but thank God the weather have changed, have improved a little bit. But it's still hot, this part of the world. So if you're coming this side, so make sure that you take a lot of water for your hydration. It's a bit hot in the north, but a good cool breeze coming through this morning. So good morning to you. How is the weather like wherever you find yourself in the country, in the land of the brave? So good morning, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what's really going on in business, in economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, the trends, and the numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear most of the time, a little witty sometimes, and always, always curious, you know, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM, and we are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space, this is your platform to unpack the headlines and stories that, you know, and get to the heart of the stories. So welcome. Our time, it's about now 5 minutes past the hour of 8. And thanks for joining us. We love, you know, being in your company. This is what we do. We love what we do. And thanks for this point in time, choosing Eagle FM to be in your company at this point. So, as usual, if you're just joining us for the first time, we start with what happened on this day in Africa. On this day in Africa, on the 18th of December. So let's take a look at some key moments, in African history. Well, first up in 2000, in 2007, Jacob Zuma was elected as the president of the African National Congress, the ANC, during the party's 52nd National Conference. So he defeated the sitting president, who was Thabo Mbeki, making a turning point in South African politics. Now, moving back to 1946, today we remember the birth of one South Africa's greatest anti-apartheid leader, Steve Biko, born in King Williamstown and now known as Paul Kotse, in the Eastern Cape. Steve Biko founded the Black Consciousness Movement. His work focused on the psychological liberation of black people and insisting pride in their identity. So Biko became a symbol of resistance to apartheid, tragically dying in a police custody in 1977. And in 1958, Niger celebrated Republic Day on December the 18th. And this day commemorates the founding of the Republic of Niger and the establishment of its presidency. So following changes in France's Fifth Republic. Although full independence came later, this day remained a significant part of Niger's national identity. Now, moving to sport, we celebrate the birth of John Shoes Moshoe. You know, Shoes Moshoe, a legendary South African, you know, footballer. Born on this day in 1965 in Soweto, Moshoe went on to become one of South Africa's most iconic footballer, leaving an unforgettable mark on both local and international football. And lastly, today we mark International Migrants Day. Since 2000, December 18th has been dedicated to recognizing the contribution of migrants and highlighting their human rights. So this is a especially important issue across Africa, as millions of people move across the continent for various reasons, for seeking works, for seeking work or to flee in conflict most of the time. So yeah, that's your history roundup, for today on this day in Africa. So good morning to you and welcome to Eagle FM. This is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. Now, today is Thursday, December the 18th, and our thought for the day, So this, Hellman, and I think Anacleta would understand this proverb. Calm water does not mean there are no crocodiles. You know, calm water does not mean there are no crocodiles. I think, you know, as I said, Helmut and Anacleta probably would understand better this crocodile. But what does the proverb says? So the proverb, calm water, does not mean there are no crocodiles. It just warns against complacency in seemingly safe situation. So it highlights that dangers often lurk beneath a peaceful surface, urging constant vigilance that be always on the lookout. So that's the proverbs. The proverb warns that appearance can deceive. It can deceive. Tranquility does not guarantee safety. So as hidden threat like crocodiles may wait just to strike. Now, in business, for example, a stable market might conceal economic risk, prompting proactive measures. And if you talk about politics, quiet period does, you know, do not mean absence of unrest or opposition plots. So that could still be layering just underneath. So in other words, outward calm can be deceptive. Serious risk or threat may be present even if nothing outwardly seem wrong. So that's our thought for the day, that calm water does not mean there are no crocodiles. So make sure that whatever you decide today to do, whatever you decide to do or decide or choices that you make, should not be guided by what you think could be peaceful surface, you know. Be vigilant Okay. Whatever decision you're making and choice you're making, make sure that you are vigilant always. All right. So yeah, that's the thought for the day. Calm water does not mean there are no crocodiles. Watch out. That's definitely what it's all about. All right. Thank you for having you. And thanks for joining us at this morning. What are we looking at today, this morning? A few interesting things. And I would love you to join me in unpacking some of this. So recently, I think the Ministry of Forestry, Tourism, and what that ministry have launched a convention bureau. Namibia have launched a convention bureau. So we're going to talk about what is this all about, because it's very, very, very interesting initiative that we need to go into it and tease it out a little bit. So make sure that we're together. And something interesting also, there was there's a public the public has actually overwhelmingly backed Starlink license applications. We look at that as well. Why that overwhelming Starlink for its license applications. So we're going to look at that as well. Let's unpack that together as well. And if we still have time, because during this time, you're just sitting at home, relaxing or sleeping in your bed, or, you know, just probably still in your bed, or, you know, doing some other things and listening to Eagle FM. So if we still have time, and which we probably would have, we're also going to look at the 6 of the world top 10 crisis affected countries are in Africa. So we look at the global watch list of 2026. So, and you know that your participation will also be part of the show as usual. So be part of the unpacking. Good morning and thanks for joining us. So we will be back in just a second. Stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Definitely the U in UNAM is you. I never get tired of that tag. It's always, you know, I think that was very, very, very clever. Now, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. And welcome to Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. This is your trusted source for deep, engaging analysis of the news that matter most to you. Now, I'm Michael Chiavelli. And today we are diving into an exciting, a very exciting development in Namibia's business and the tourism sector. So, well, you must stay tuned as we unpack the launch of the Namibian Convention. What is that I'm looking for? Namibia Convention Bureau. The NCB as abbreviated, and what it means for our future as a destination for international events. So let's get into it. Now, the Namibia investment, where's my stuff? Okay. So the Namibia Investment Promotion, and Development Board, the NIPDB has launched the Namibia Conventional Bureau What is this job? What is this? What is the job of the Namibia Conventional Bureau? So it's to go out. Simply is to go out into the world. Go out in the world. It's like here, you know what, when Jesus sent his disciple, go out in the world, you know, baptize everybody in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So this is exactly, not exactly. So I'm just giving an example. So their job is to go out into the world and sell Namibia. No, this is different. And sell Namibia. All right. So that's what this National Convention Bureau is all about. Go out into the world and sell Namibia. Not just as a beautiful holiday spot for tourists. Okay. This is not a difference. It not just goes out and talk about how beautiful Namibia it is. Part of that, yes, but it's a top tier. We're talking about top tier as a top tier destination for big international business event. So now we go there and said, hey, we also have, maybe not sport. We can't go and talk about, okay, come and have, have this event of sport in Namibia because we don't have the infrastructure in terms of that. But we're going to talk about later what are the challenges. But that's the idea. So that's the initiative. So go out, talk about that Namibia it's a top tier destination for big international business event. So that's what this is all about. We're talking about now an initiative that aims to coordinate and elevate Namibia's appeal. You know, we want to elevate that Namibia's appeal as a top spot. Okay, a top spot for meeting, incentives, conferences, and exhibitions. So that is known as MICE. It's MICE. All right. So M for meeting, I for incentives, C for conferences and exhibition, and E for exhibition. So MICE. So yeah. And the government's argument is very simple. The government argument is very, very, very simple. When 1,000 of doctors or engineers or tech CEOs flying into Windhoek or Swakopmund, it doesn't matter where, for a week-long conferences, they don't just sit in the room. You know that? They don't just sit in the room. They stay in our hotels. They eat in our restaurant. They need transport. They need internet. They need entertainment. You understand? That's the idea. That's the idea behind this. So they spend money, a lot of it. So they spend money, really. So, and that money flows right into our economy. So supporting now jobs for the chef in the kitchen and for the taxi driver on the street. So now, Minister Indileni Deshipanda Daniel, at the launch pointed out that we have done this before. Of course we have done that before, So we have hosted big event, and they brought in millions of dollars. Now, but we have done that before, but until now, she says, we haven't been doing it in a scattered, uncoordinated way. So it's good that the minister actually realized that. So now this new bureau, conventional bureau is supposed now to be the central brain. This is now the central brain, the one-stop shop, as people say. This is supposed now to be the one-stop shop to make us competitive against the likes of there are other big countries that actually involve in MICE. So we're talking about the South African, we're talking about the Rwanda, we're talking about Kenya, we're talking about big cities like Nairobi, Cape Town, Kigali, So, yeah. So now, this now bureau is supposed to be the central brain, okay? That one-stop shop to make us now competitive. So against these big countries as well. Now, so you might be wondering now, so why is this such a big deal? So government has launched many initiatives, and there have been many. How is this different? Good question. I'm asking the same questions. How is actually this going to be different? And there has been several, you know, initiatives or whatever, projects and whatever. How is this going to be different? But to be honest, the mice industry, not just looking at Namibia, the mice industry is one of the fastest growing sector in the world. So if we're not jumping into it now, we may just miss out. This is nothing. There's nothing to do with the launch now, but it's something just to let you know that this is actually an industry that is growing very, 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 very fast. So from business meeting and conferences to exhibition that bringing thousands of international delegates. So this event, you know, pump money into the economy. It create jobs and boost tourism sector beyond, you know, beyond that usual summer holidays when people just come for holidays. So the difference is here. We don't just, you know, the people who come, tourists who come for summer holidays, they are self-initiators, if I can put it that way. They the one who decided, okay, where do we go? Should we go to Namibia? Should we go to Rwanda? But now what this is about is like, okay, we go out there. That's what I said. We go out there and sell that we are top tier. You know, when it for business event destination. Yeah. So we're doing something to attract, to say, hey, we have the facilities. We have this and this and this. Have your event in our country, you know? So we're marketing. It's a marketing initiative. You know, it's a marketing initiative. So that's the difference. And it's not. I'm just actually wonder why have we taken so long actually to do this, because other countries this has been part of many tourism sector in many countries. So, and this is not just about tourism. In actual fact, it's about survival. It is about survival. Yeah? And we know the story. For example, for Namibia, we know the story. Our economy has been heavily reliant on a few key sectors for decades. You know, mining and maybe agriculture as well. Mining, fishing, agriculture to large extent. So now when commodity prices fall in terms of mining, for example, fall, when the prices fall, and in agriculture when drought hits, so we feel it. So we feel these shocks, and we feel it in the price of food, maybe in the scarcity of jobs. So this move from the government, this move from the government point of view, it's kind of like it's a direct response to that. Now, probably asking, how is this a direct response to that? It is a direct response to that, because it's about diversification. There you go. I said every day I have to mention that word, diversification. All right? And there, here I am, you know? So it's about diversification. So it's a core goal of our, basically it's a core goal of our national development plans. So we want to diversify our economic activities, and we have to build new engine for our economy. So we need to build a new engine for our economy, and the mice industry, I think, is seen as one of those new engines. So the government see this as one of those new engines. So, and the second reason is also job. jobs, 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 jobs. So the president have vision, as you know, don't forget. And we should remind, you know, the government, this administration, that the president have vision of creating 500,000 new jobs in the next 5 years. Okay? Let's not forget 500,000 new job. new job for these 5 years. How far are we? How much have we created so far? And my friend, that is a monumental task. It's a really, really monumental task. And the government is betting that this sector, for example, can be a bigger piece of that puzzle. It's not that gonna solve the problem, but can play a part, you know, can be a piece of that puzzle. That's what the government betting on. Because here we're talking about opportunity if it's done well, it has potential. If it's honestly done well, it has the potential in hospitality, transport, catering, logistic, small businesses, even technology. So the idea is to create a sustainable, you know, that year-round flow of visitors, you know, that year-round flow of visitors bringing in income, not just during the peak tourism, you know, seasons, but throughout the year. So that's the idea. That's the idea from the government. So to make sure that, you know, throughout the year, we have, you know, it is sustainable, you know. We create that sustainable year-round flow of visitors in the country. So that's the idea. And on the government side, they are already making strides. I think from the government side, they're already making strides. We have seen steps to modernize our law and improve infrastructure. So including the introduction of MICE visa. And we're going to look at that. So when we come back, stay tuned.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. Our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 8. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day. And do you know what we are unpacking? We are unpacking the launch of National Convention Bureau. So that's what we're talking about. So we're looking at the ins and out of this new initiative. Now, as I said, the government has already made some strides. We have seen steps to modernize our law. And improve infrastructure. So including the, we have now introduced, including the introduction of, MICE visa. The MICE visa, which simplifies actually entry for international delegates. So, and since June this year, Namibia has issued over 900 special visas to people coming here for business events. So things like international meetings, incentive trips, big conferences and exhibitions. About 900 special visas. So now those visas have already brought 1.5 million into state coffer, into state coffers in just 6 months. You see, 1.5 million into a state coffers already in 6 months. So you see that, as I said, this, if it's properly managed and coordinated, has the potential. It has the potential. In 6 months, it brings in already 1.5 million, you know? So, and this is from 900 special visas. Now, you know, if now 1.5 million in visa revenue over 6 months, you know, some of you might look at that and said, but that doesn't sound really, it doesn't bring much of a difference. When it come, of course, when you're talking about on a national budget, it doesn't make much of a difference at the national budget, in a national budget. But it is important to see, that this is, it's just one slice of the benefit. It's okay. Depending on how you look at it. So it's one slice of the benefit, you know, the direct visa fees. It's one slice of the benefit. Now, the bigger, there's also this bigger impact, you know, there's also a bigger impact, you know, a bigger economic impact comes from what these visitors, now talk about now the visitor, those are just coming from the direct visa, visa fees, okay, that's 1.5. So, but there's also economic impact comes from what these visitors spent while they are here, okay, while they are here. Now, okay, I told you normally that I'm not good at math, but let's do a quick back of the, what do they say? They say a back of the envelope calculation. Okay. So let's do that. Let's do a quick back of the back, a back of the, yeah, back of the envelope calculation. So as I said, there is a bigger economic impact that are coming now from the people, you know, from the people who are visiting. Yeah, so we know that 1.5 is just coming. It's a direct visa fees. Now let's do this, okay? If you have, I'm not too bad at math. If you have 900 visitors, okay? Creating this. So just for argument's sake, if you have, let's say you have 900 visitors each spend, and each of the 900 visitors. Each spend, say, 3,000, okay? 3,000 on accommodation, okay? You have nine of these visitors. Each of them spend 3,000 on accommodation. So they also have to eat. So spend about 2,000 on food. You eat a lot. Maybe you are here for 4 weeks. I mean, for a week or two. You spend about 2,000 on food. Well, you need to travel, you're not staying just in one place, and you spend, let's say, 1,000 on transport, and maybe another, let's say, 2,000 on shopping or excursions, you know. So that is around 3, 2, and 1, and another 2. That's around 8,000 per person. So that you just spend actually for in a week, if you are here for a week or 2 weeks, it doesn't matter. Okay? You spend about 8,000 per person. Now, multiply that by 900. Okay? You multiply by that by 900. You are looking at, let me do this quickly, 9 times. Okay? All right. You're looking at 7.2 million. You see? So you're looking at 7.2 million flowing into various sectors. And this now, this 7.2 million, you know, it's actually flowing into various sectors. And that, what we have done, this is actually a conservative estimate. You know, there could be more than that. 7.2 million flowing into various sectors. In terms of transport, in terms of restaurant, in terms of accommodation, in terms of, you know, entertainment, you know, shopping, you know, when they go to, in winter, to those places where they buy these souvenirs and what, you see, this money, And this money goes into hotel staff wages, tax driver earnings, restaurant suppliers, and even local craft sellers. Eh? So the ripple effect is much larger than sometimes the headlines figures that you see. So like 1.5, you know, that goes into visa fees. So that's you can see that, ne? You can see how this it's a beautiful initiative, and if it's really coordinated and done well, it has some ripple effect, and that's why the government looking at that's another way, you know, be able to complement other efforts in terms of job creation and economic growth. So, but let's also be real. Yeah, as much as I making this a sound, it sounds exciting, there are also real issues. There are real issues as well. It's not all smooth sailing. So both the manager of the Convention Bureau and the minister have admitted Namibia, it doesn't yet have large dedicated convention centers. So we still don't have these top tier, you know, facilities. All right. And it's a big deal. That's really, really a big deal. If you want to host, say, you know, 5,000 delegate international medical congress, you need the space. Yeah? You need space. You need facilities. So right now, what we do, we have to stretch existing venues, you know, and somehow break the event into smaller locations. Sometimes, you know, they are not just in one place, you know. They come, could be, I know now many of the hotels have changed names. They are not Safari Hotel anymore. They are not Kalalei Hotel anymore. They have changed. So some staying at, you know, some B&B somewhere and, you know, things like that. So you kind of stretch existing venues and break the event into kind of smaller locations. We don't really have that, you know, top tier conventional centers. And that's not me saying that actually the minister himself, the minister herself, and also the conventional bureau, the manager of the conventional bureau. All right. They said we don't. All right. We don't have that large dedicated conventional centers. So, what is missing right now is that truly world class, you know, world class infrastructure. We need more modern conference centers, better accommodations, and skilled event organizers, you know. So all this we still, you know, we need, and there is where, okay, and this is where now you come in as a private sector. This is where now the private sector players like you, and probably me too, you know, like you and I come in. This is where now the private sector come in. So the minister herself really admitted it. She admitted we need modern conference centers. We need more hotel rooms. We need especially higher end ones. You know, we need better technology infrastructures. So that is actually needed. And think about it. Think about it, you know, and if you are now a massive, you know, this reputable, international organization, you are choosing where to host your annual event. You know, you are comparing now Windhoek to Cape Town, to Kigali, to Dubai, you know, to Dubai. Everybody's competing for those, for MICE. So, and when you're looking at those cities that I have mentioned, they have vast state of the art centers with fiber optic, you know that fiber optic internet running to every seat. You know when people ask to vote or to you know, just to vote, you just vote on your on your own or whatever, and that's it. We don't have that. Do we? We don't have those kind of things. On the seat, you have those fiber optic internet running. So we don't have those kind of stuff. I don't know how you call it, but, you know, I have been in those conferences where you have those things available at your seat. So take, for example, Rwanda. Rwanda, for example, has marketed Kigali as a conference hub, you know, for the East Africa. So, and hosting big events like African Union Summit. So this is the countries that have really literally put investment into this. And Namibia is saying, we are now saying, you know, we can do that too. So that's what we're saying. We can do that too. Maybe do it with our own unique selling point. We do that with our own unique selling point. What is our selling point? If you're a marketer, what are the things that you're looking at? What could be selling? How do we sell Namibia? If you are now put in a position actually to think, okay, how do we sell Namibia? Now you're competing with the Kigalis, the Cape Towns, the Dubai of this world. How do you sell Namibia? Well, stability is one of them. Safety is one of them. Stunning landscape of our country. It's one of those. So we relatively uncluttered market, you know. Namibia has that uncluttered market. So, yes, we have our own fail. I think we have our own flavor that how we can actually sell Namibia. And we are not doing too bad already when it comes to what we're doing. So, now the Bureau first, their first job is not just marketing. So when we talk about when the ministers and the manager of the Bureau saying we don't have the facilities, you know, top tier state of the art centers, we don't have those kind of stuff. So their first job is not just marketing. I think it's arguably to help create the product. It is trying to sell. If you can't just, you're selling Namibia. So if you don't have those infrastructure here, you can't sell them. So first you have to try. You have to help create the product that you want, that you're trying to sell. That's actually the first thing that I need to do. That means convincing private investors, now both local and foreign as well, to build these facilities. So there's still a long road, you know, to these initiatives. So, all right. So, and that's also, it's exactly a huge, huge, huge ask. It's a huge ask given where we are, you know. Government is already stretched thin, you know, in terms of other priorities. So definitely you have to convince private sectors, you know, I mean, private investors, you know, both the local ones and foreign ones to, you know, to invest in these facilities. So the investor will want to see stabilities, which we have in Namibia. We have that stability. They want to see clear regulations. So they don't want that. Maybe after 5 years, when the Tumbo is no longer here, things change. That's possible. They want that clear regulations. They want a solid return on their investment. Sometimes when these are not clear, that's why, you know, investors may not actually move an inch. So we also need to have people that are competent to, you know, to be able to say, look, this is what we offer you. So the government is essentially saying, if you build it, we will help you feel it, isn't it? So we will bring you clients. That's exactly what the government said. We are going out there and get you clients. Just build it. Okay, I'm not promoting build it. So, all right. All right. So that's now, and then there is then the issue of skills. So that also has been mentioned. Do we have enough highly skilled, for example, event planners, you know, project managers, tax specialists right here in Namibia, do we? So when the minister is saying we don't, who am I to say we do? Eh? So, like in other sectors as well, or will these higher paying jobs, for example, you know, when it comes to this big event, project managers, tax specialists, and event planners, will this higher paying job initially go to foreigners? You know, the bureau must have a laser focus on capacity building. They have to have that focus on capacity building and land and local ownership. That is the drive of the government as well. Local ownership. Okay? So we don't just want to be the host. Eh? So we don't just want to be the host. We want to be the owners, the managers, the entrepreneurs are reaping the biggest rewards. That's what we want. Eh? So, and that's bring us, to the crucial point. Partnership. All right? Partnership. The government cannot do this one. The government cannot do this the government cannot do this alone. Okay? They can't do this alone. They can't. Yeah? The minister even stressed this. So the private sector must step in. So this is where now Namibian business people, our innovators, and need to see the opportunity. This is the opportunity. Seize the opportunity. Minister Intileni Daniel, the Shipanda Daniel, emphasized that for the Namibia Conventional Bureau to succeed, if it's actually to succeed, there needs to be a solid partnership between the government and the private sector. All right? There need to be that strong partnerships. So, and what does that partnership look like? What does that look like maybe in practice, in real? You know, you are, say, for example, you are hotel owners in Windhoek, or maybe you are running a small business providing event services. Now, with this bureau now in place, it's already in place now, okay? It's in place. That's why we are unpacking this. It's already in place. The idea is that you will have a direct access now to a national network, that national support in attracting international clients, and maybe even a bigger slice of the pie when it comes to hosting now global business event. You become part of that. So, but it's not all on the government shoulder then. It's not all on the government shoulder. Business, especially in hospitalities and event management, you know, need to be ready. You need to be ready, you know, to step up with a top tier service. That's what is the whole about. Need to step up with top tier services. So, because the bureau can't go out there and just promote things that are not here, that don't exist. Okay? Like some marketing kind of, they will tell you, you know, this product have this and this, but, you know, you don't even feel the taste of that. So we need actually to step up. They need to step up with the top tier services. All right? So, yeah, looking at this, you know, we can look at this from a different angles. You know, we can look at from government point of view, the government's perspective. This is a smart policy. It's a smart policy investing in a higher growth sector because it's one of the growing sectors. The whole idea for the government is to diversify our economy. And from a business perspective, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. Hotel owners, tour operators, transport companies, they could see more consistent in income year round. You understand? Because you always have, you know, that would be very beneficial, not just during the peak holiday season, but year round actually. So, and from ordinary workers, from worker point perspective, it could mean more job stability. You have a job, you know. if events are spread throughout the year, you don't get the same boom and bust, you know, a circle of seasonal tourism. You know, you have, a job stability, you know. But you have also skeptics, you know. You have also skeptic, you know, from a skeptic perspective. They might say, look, let's say, for example, 1.5 million in visa fees. Well, that isn't much, you know, isn't much. And without big convention center that you're talking about, or better, sometimes Namibia doesn't have really better flight links, you know, and Namibia couldn't, you know, so Namibia could struggle to compete with the more established destinations, you know, like Galis, Cape Town, Dubai. You know, you have those skeptics as well, skeptic perspective. So they might also point out that public money is being spent on administration, which is true, you know, and ask whether the return will justify the investment. You know, will the return justify the investment? So, and these are fair questions. They are fair questions. And they are worth debating, because this is worth debating, because we want this initiative to be transparent. Okay? We want it to be transparent. We want to be accountable. We want to be genuinely benefit, you know, Namibia. We want it genuinely that it's beneficial to Namibians. So that's why any fair criticism or questions are, I think, in my view, is welcome. So, should Namibia spend more to build the big convention centers? Should we do that? Would that be the way to go now? Should we focus, or maybe, I'm just now playing devil advocate here, or should we focus more on a regional event first before chasing global ones? Should we do what we should do? Should private business take the lead? Yeah. So, or should government keep steering this? So, yeah, that's where I want to hear from you. That's where I want to hear from. What is your take? Is the MICE push, this MICE push, does it push the future of Namibian tourism? Or, as we always know, or is just another shiny idea? Would this be just another shiny ideas? So, what is your take? 0833-66-091. I want to hear from you. 0833-66-091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikawa shafa sana na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randitoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende pimeneha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashifareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo lengira seo
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, right. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Our time is 57 minutes past the hour of 8, and we go until 10 o'clock. This is Unpacking the Day. And during this time, when you're on holidays, so make sure that you, you know, you pop in our social medias. That's where we will keep you updated with what is going on. Everything's become quiet and quiet and quiet, you know, but we keep you feeding you. We will keep you feeding with information that you really need. Even when you're on holiday, we will be doing that. Check our social media, check our platform, all of them on all on our platforms, social media platforms, you know, Facebook, Instagram, you know, LinkedIn and X, all of those. So, Just put in Eagle FM Namibia, so you will be able to access those ones. So it's a holiday time, so you know, as I said, relax. We got you covered. We got you covered, just as we do here right now. So yours is just to relax. Tune in, and we provide you with exactly what you need. So, yeah, welcome back. You know, this is Unpacking the Day. And, yeah, so the launch of Namibia Convention Bureau, is without a doubt, a positive and, ambitious move. It's a positive and ambitious move. And it shows strategic thinking. Definitely it shows some strategic thinking from the side of the government. It's aligned with our national goals. It's aligned with our national goal of economic diversification and job creation. So the potential benefit, are really huge as I showed you with my calculations. Mm. All right. Thank you, Mike. Hopefully someone say thank you, Mike. Okay. So the potential benefit are really huge. You know, more visitors, more investment, and more resilient economy that isn't at any mercy of, you know, rain or mineral prices, you know? So, yeah, that really, you know, we're looking at that and said, yeah, that's something that we should seize the opportunity, you know, that the government have also provided. As I said, as investors or as private sectors. All right. So, but the vision is only that this is something that the president have said as well. So the vision, not what I'm saying now, but it's more paraphrasing. So the vision is only as good as its execution. So the policy, yeah. So she said the policy is as good as it's only as good as its execution. So this vision is only as good as its execution. You know, the challenges are significant. We really have challenges, infrastructure, skills development. These are things that we cry out every time, you know. And we got to do something. We really got to do something. Infrastructure, especially skill development, and also ensuring a genuine local participation. All right. So we want that, you know, we have people that are skilled enough. We have the facilities, and this would only allow that our local people actually participate. If we don't have some of these, we would just look at them like what they do with our resources, with mining, with our natural resources. They come in, we just dig and hand it to other people. You know, we dig it out and we ship them out, then ship them out, you know, no value additions. So if we also don't have all this infrastructure, skills, skilled and all that, we will be just, you know, transporting them and whatever, but you know, they will have people who are skilled and taking up all the important, you know, jobs, if you like, higher paid kind of job. So the government has set the table, people. The government have set the table. So it has laid Angelo la shitafulo la si prepare. You know, the dinner table is set, but now the private sector and our educational institution as well. So because they should be involved, our entrepreneurs, we need to come and feast. So we need to come and feast. That's what we need to do. We love to hear. I would love to hear from you. I would like to hear your voice, not your voice. I would like to hear your thought. Stick around and let's keep the conversation going. Let's keep the conversation going. Even not through here, wherever you find yourself. Talk about that. You know, discuss that. 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. So if you want to react to that story or have your contribution to the story itself.
Omudiha wutekirwa kaguna e matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongoti samweni. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashifareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo lengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datunda tu heari jamano tano o ambiyaji. Eagle FM. So aye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, that's true. That's right. Our time is about 4 minutes past the hour of nine, and we still have about an hour to go before we hand over to Tate France in Windhoek, coming up with Kuthamosha around 10 o'clock. So, good morning. If you're just joining us, we have been looking at the new initiative, the Namibia's Conventional Bureau that has been launched. And we talk how that would impact our economy. Through the people that are coming, you know, the visitors, when they come into this country, it would have actually, it's not just about, you know, as earlier on I talked about, you know, the 1.5 million visa revenue that were collected just within 6 months, you know. That's from the 900 visitors in 6 months, so 1.5. So, and I said that the bigger... This would have also, the whole idea of this is actually to impact our economy. And then this bigger economic impact comes now from what these visitors spend while they are here. And I give an example of, you know, let someone is here and he spend about 8,000, you know, in various things, in accommodation, in food, in transport, and also maybe, you know, some entertainment, 2,000, some, and in entertainment or so, or shopping, you know. So, and if you multiply that by 900 people that have come in 6 months, you're actually looking at about, 7.2 million, you know, of that money flowing into various sectors, you know. Money goes to hotel staff for wages, for taxi drivers, you know, truck drivers' earnings, and restaurant suppliers, and so on and so on. Local, you know, and maybe something local craft sellers. So the ripple effect, as I said, of this idea, of this initiative, is much, much larger than just, you know, sometimes when you look at the, we talked about 1.5 of the mice visa, you know. So, yeah, it has the potential, and hopefully, you know, we would be able to, you know, address the challenge that could be, you know, a hurdle in terms of what we want to achieve. Yeah, so please do come through if you really want to contribute to that and have your add your opinion and how do you see that, your perspective as well. So 0833 is the number to call, 0833-66091, 0833-66091. We're coming to you live from Ondangwa studio. All right. Otherwise, we will change gears. We will change gears and we get into another, you know, we were just in a second gear. So we can now change to a third and fourth gear. Okay. So welcome. Let's talk about the public massive show of support, the public massive show of support of Starlink. To finally get a license to operate right here in Namibia. So the some if you now if you live in Windhoek, or Ongwediva, it doesn't matter. If you live in Windhoek, I live in Ongwediva, or in other small town, smaller town, you might have to some extent. You might have, as I said, to some extent, a decent, I'm reluctant to use the word decent. You might have some, to some extent, I'm trying to really use the right word, to some extent, a decent internet. It's painful saying that because it's not entirely true. Okay. So you might have some, to some extent, a decent internet. I'm using that because I don't have any other better word to say it. Now, but think about our, maybe our farmers in the deep Ochodonjupa region, somewhere in Katwitwi. Is Katwitwi in Ochodonjupa? You know, when you mention just something on top of your head. So I don't know where Katwitwi is. Where is Katwitwi? So yeah. So you are somewhere in a deep, deep, rural, you know, or think of the lodges, because also we're talking about, now think of the lodges in the remote Zambezi region, in the remote Zambezi, you know, I have been in some of those lodges, you know, the student in the villages across the Kavango, you know, and, you know, for them, remember what I said in other, you know, what I said, when you're in the other, when you're in a smaller town, when you're in Windhoek and other town, you know, you might have some extent a decent internet, but think of yourself. So in those, for them, the internet is very, very, very slow. Very slow, very expensive. It could be no internet at all. And that's a struggle. Let's get to the column and we're going to come back to this. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good.
I'm not hearing you well. I don't know whether it's on my side or...
Yeah, maybe my voice is not raised up enough.
Oh, okay. Now I can hear you. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's quite a significant amount of money generated through that those visas. And those ones are tourists who come to at least experience and enjoy our country. Yeah, the only thing is that infrastructure, like you said at one point, the village tourism.
Yeah.
I heard that concept first from Netumbo, His Excellency President. That yes, there's also an opportunity, the opportunity to grab, especially when it comes to village tourism.
Yeah.
And this is not going to be like a big, more those, you know, those hotels, like, so to say, at that level. But it should be in the level of, you know, it suits the local identity, the local situation, where you can have your induda, do get that in one hour. You never decorate, you make it now, to trap and go bed doe. Then go to Nashoda, they did it at the candor. Had the Aka Mueko in Takaramagan and then 5 minutes, your Takan then go to Jinuna Nale, winner, which are these just for tourists to entertain the tourists.
Get tourists or deaf in Bungo Benadidara.
Those ones they have to go to. I in Akarata did Daraja see you are actually mourning with them. With that purpose. So you know really that they are well taken care of, even if they are two. They are two. And then you now feed them nicely and they think. So when they come now, a tourist come, you say, 5 minutes, you know how many pounds that they will give you?
Yeah.
So they'll give you a lot of pounds. And the other, you know, you make like, you know, this camping side.
Yeah.
When people are coming, they see the variety of local products there, and everything is there. Even the food you may also offer. People are just passing by at least for 2-3 hours just to rest. You know, along this side, the Kamanyab, and all this other side, the Nana, you know, those corridors.
Yeah.
You follow them. And they are already marketed. And through this big established hotels, you know, you are also having a portion there to negotiate with them that, yes, when your people are coming from Italy, they should be able to use this and this. Because it's a collaboration effort, you know.
I was actually trying to joke, but you know what you're saying is exactly what this whole thing is all about. This conventional bureau is all about that all the services that we can understand now that we have a bureau that goes out and get us client, you know, a client in terms of who are here for business. And sometimes of these people are just here for, some are just paid by whatever their organization to come and have a good time. And when you have now this kind of services that you're talking about, it's more linked nicely to say, when we have these people, we know where we can tell them to go. And then we have to understand, it has to be coordinated, because the minister was even said it was scattered, each one of us doing their own thing. So when we have it coordinated, the bureau know if we have this type of client, we know where to send them. If we have this type of visitors, we know where to send them, where we have and what. I think that's the point you're making. So we have to think big and be more creative and innovative. Yeah.
Exactly. So the only issue there maybe is that to make sure that you provide some kind of special security.
Of course.
The security concern is very important there. What I have seen in South Africa and many other areas, even in Namibia, when the tourists go to those coastal areas there, that is where sometimes they become victims of those criminality. So what we should do now, we have a special kind of programs that also escort them and make sure that these people are really protected, so that it does not tarnish the image of our country.
That's also a business opportunity.
Exactly.
Provide a security, a security service.
Security service. Those people, they are really purified, they are polished, and they are working like, you know, it's not just an ordinary kind of escort, you know, tourist escort or whatever they call it. But this one has to go deep, where all these organizations that got stake there, they have to coordinate and networking. I think we can do a lot with this kind of initiative. If the registration is there already, it means it's good. It's just for us to be convinced or to convince ourselves and get into that space, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you very much, Mike, for the opportunity.
Thanks for coming through.
Okay, sir.
All right.
08333-66091. 08333-66091. If you still want to contribute to that, launch of the Namibia Conventional Bureau and its role that it's playing, in bringing mice to Namibia. All right. So 08333-66091. That's the number you can contact and reach out to me in the studio and have your say. All right. So good morning. If you're just joining us and we're looking at now on overwhelming support. We're looking at the overwhelming support the public have given for the application, license application for Starlink. So, and I was just kind of trying to give you a context in terms of that, you know, yes, the current status quo of internet, if you are in a town, a smaller town, you are in Windhoek and you are in other towns, you may have a decent, and I was reluctant actually to say decent, you know, internet, because you still struggle being in, let's say for example, being in Ongwediva, you actually still struggle when it comes to downloading or streaming anything. So, and now, as I said, if you live in some rural, you know, in the rural, whether you're a farmer on the, you know, in some regions far deep in the rural, you may not have internet might not just be there. You know, you're still using maybe the 2G or 3G or something like that. Your lounge lodges in those remote, beautiful Zambezi regions, or you could be a student somewhere in village across the Angwena or Kabango or something like that, you know? So the internet in those area, have very, very, very slow, you know, expensive, and it could be just, it's not there as well. And that's a real, real struggle. So I'm painting that picture so that now when a global player like Starlink, you know, enters the conversation, you know, promising higher speed, satellite internet in even the most remote corners of the country. So, well, omakuti, ogena kupakalala. Makuzutaga pakalala. You know, I want now you to put that in English. Makuti has to be pakaralas. Eh? So what do you say in English? Makuti ogena kupakarala. So ears pick up. Yeah, that's the English, you know. The ears ears pick up. Eh? Makuti ogena pakarala. So now, Starlink is a satellite internet service from, you know, Elon Musk's company, SpaceX. So now, instead of relying on like other Nampower, I mean, Telecom and other, you know, and MTC of this world, instead of relying on cables and tower on the ground, it uses thousands of smaller satellites zooming around in a space to beam the internet down to a small pizza box kind of size, a dish that you can put at home, you know, that you can have at home. So wherever you are now. So, and well, the promise, as we see from other countries, high speed internet anywhere. If you are in Namibia, if we have that anywhere you are in Namibia, you will then have this high speed internet anywhere in Namibia, anywhere. All right. So, and Namibians have spoken loudly They have spoken loudly. The communication regulator, CREN, just closed its public comment period. So they receive over 1,180 submission, you know. And get this, only 16 were against it. Only 16, 1-6. So only 1-6 were against the license application of Starlink. So the rest, a massive 98%, 98.6% were in support. They were in support. And that is not just, it's not just a majority. That is, how do you call? At this time, that is a tidal wave of public opinion. So that's a tidal wave of public opinion. It's not just a majority, it's a tidal wave of, as they say, of public opinion. So at this point, we are unpacking this. Why such overwhelming support? Why there's such an overwhelming support? What are the people hoping for, you know, by actually, voting that publicly? I mean, overwhelmingly. And what are the concerns hidden in those 16 opposing views? So we also need to look at that because, you know, sometimes the majority could be wrong. The majority could be wrong. So we are going to look at the economic hope, you know, the economic hopes and the fears of local companies, because of course, local companies might also look at this and say, that's competition is too big. And what this really mean? What does it really mean for you and maybe for your wallet as well? So what does it mean? All right. So we're going to look at that. And we're going to look at that after this.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. Let's unpack this this massive public support of license application of Starlink. So what? It's not just people actually saying yes. We like internet. So it's not just people saying we like it. That this is deep. It's deeper. It's actually deeper. It's a collective cry. I must say it. It's a collective cry against the current status quo. Yeah, I think so. That's the way how I see it. It's a collective cry. Many Namibians feel left behind by the digital revolution. They do. Higher data costs, unreliable connectivity. These are not just inconvenience for many people. These are not just inconvenience. These are barriers. We're talking about these are barrier to many things. You know, barriers to education. You know, barriers to business. Barrier to healthcare, you know, it's a barriers to, you know, to connect to be connected to, you know, maybe young people to their friends or whatever the case may be, or to, yeah. So these are barriers. Now, think about a small business in Katima Mulilo, you know, trying to upload a catalog to sell, let's say craft online, okay? So the connection keep buffering. Is it buffering? Yeah, keep buffering. And you spend so much money on data. So it costs you a fortune. It honestly costs you a fortune, which sometimes end up not doing actually what you wanted to do. That's the experience of many. That's an experience of, and as I said, this is not just in, and I'm not just like people in rural, region. You could be actually in Windhoek. You could be actually in Ongwediva. You could be in Ondangwa. You could be, you know, and you experience exactly the same thing. Sometimes I want to stream live certain things, you know, and you can't. Yeah? Then you can't. Do you understand? So with Starlink, you know, with Starlink's promise, they see, you know, a lifeline. You know, people see a lifeline and they see a chance to compete on a level playing field with business in the capital. Now, people now in the rural, they will see, okay, this is now a level playing field now with any other business, you know, in the capital, because, you know, for a farmer, it's about smart agriculture nowadays, you know, monitoring prices in real time. So like what they do in some countries, you know, and even security. Yeah. So this is a game changer. Yeah. For families, it's about children being able to stream education videos. Now you can't. It's all baffling and, you know, so, yeah, children being able to stream, you know, educational video without the screen freezing every 10 seconds. Yeah? That's the experience. I hope, well, maybe you experience it different, but that's the experience of most people in those, you know, in those areas. Yeah? And I said, in some of our towns as well, that's what you experience. So, this support, I think this is this support is emotional. It's emotional in a way that it's a vote for hope, you know, for opportunity to finally bring the vast digital. Let's go for a break and come back. All right.
Imbaya riri ombo nai epetla weda ko ombuni kiro ombe ombi hukusha nziviro yoye iriri ombupu o hatane na wina ikare no masa kumurungu wa indu weri rongere kusha umune ondengu okura kwe imba una ovyu nedia peke o rondola mirongo vitati na hambu umwe umwe stoo kwika ovinki no kukara noruta ondando ya peke yopianja oshimariva o peresente dano kumyeze vitati moshimariva o peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva o peresente umirongo ivari na dano Mwede mwurongwa na izari mwishimarifu. Itoarorela ondengu, jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyangu kife. Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno owiru haka enina. Itako na wina rishangita jinon.
Welcome back. And make sure that you download the Imba the Imba app. It's actually a something that you should have. It's a very good app, and especially at these times, festive seasons, where you find yourself maybe, you know, in churches for various reasons, for funeral, for weddings, for baptism, for whatever the case may be. So, yeah. And you don't need to carry many books. And, you know, you could be finding yourself in areas in Kirkmanshoop. Yeah. So maybe you go for the holidays. So you will have your sing for the hearers there, you know, Afrikaans. And you might find yourself somewhere in Zambezi and you decided, let me go to church here. So your Silozi hymnals is there. So you may find yourself in, you know, wherever you find yourself, make sure that you actually down that. It's worth having. Believe me, that's one product from ourselves that you should have. It's worth having. And once you do that, believe me, you will thank me. All right. So I was saying earlier, we're talking about the overwhelming support of the Starlink applications, license applications. And I was also saying this is actually, this support is more emotional. It's a vote of hope. it's a really a vote of hope, for opportunity, for finally bridging the vast digital divide that mirrors in our country's geographical divide. So that's what it means. You know, people aren't just supporting a foreign company. They are supporting the idea of a more connected, equitable, you know, Namibia. That's what they're supporting. All right. That's what they support. And remember, well, this is also unpacking, you know, this is unpacking. We probe. As I said, there's also another side to the story. There's not only one side, there's also another side to the story. Why this is not working. All right. So, yeah. There's another side to the story. So this is unpacking. So we probe. That's what we do here. Is this hope, you know, that we place on a single foreign owned entity? Is just this a hope? Is this just a hope? Or are we as a public perhaps overlooking the potential downsides because of our desperation for a better service? Are we overlooking the potential downside of that? Because we are desperate for a better service. So, and that's, we're trying to balance here. That's what we're trying to balance, the way we look at things now. So let's look at that. Now let's give the voice to the other side. Let's give a voice to the other side. Those 16 submission that oppose the application. So the current says they raise substantive issues. There are also substantive issues that has been raised. And we have to take that serious as well. As I said, it's not always that the majority are right. So you also have to listen to the minorities. So what could those concern be? So what we just probably speculate, you know, the first and foremost, telecom companies. You know, we have MTC, we have Telecom Namibia, we have Paratas, what are other ones? There are a couple of them now. So these companies have invested billion of Namibian dollars in infrastructure, you know, like fiber optic cables and mobile towers. So they argue, and rightly so, you know, that they are bound by strict rules. They have to meet local ownership requirements. Would that be the case with Starlink? They pay taxes here. They employ Namibians. Would that be the case with Starlink? You know, Starlink, a giant international company, you know, could potentially swoop in. They could potentially swoop in, skim the scream, as they said. And by taking the most profitable, you know, customers, both in urban and, you know, and tourist areas, because, you know, if you have this in your, I was talking about lodges in Zambezi. Yeah, you could. So this could weaken our local company financially. So you can understand where they're coming from. If they go against this, if they vote no, yeah, you can understand why, because that definitely can weaken their financial positions. So the second big concern is the regulation and sovereignty. I think we spoke about this, I think, at one point. How does CREN, our regulator, ensure Starlink plays by the same rules? So, we have to make sure that they play by the same rule. Can they enforce consumer protection laws? If Starlink kit has a problem, you know, who do you call? Will it be call center in South Africa or in the USA? Or what about data privacy? Talking about data privacy, that's one of the important aspects as well. So who will they call? So where is the data, you know, the data of Namibian using extra Starlink actually stored? Where is stored? So there are huge questions about control and national security that cannot be ignored. So that cannot be ignored. Very good morning to you.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good.
Yeah.
Consumer protection, right. No, that one is not an issue.
Yeah.
These guys, they are good when it comes to those things.
They will find a way.
Yeah, they find a way to pay back. Because them, they are manipulating the world. And they are the one of the biggest spender in the world.
Yeah.
So they don't have a problem with that.
Money talks anyway.
Well, because what they want is to change the world. But, okay, and the other, before I go to my reason. So the other is also the competition of innovation. You cannot blame somebody by putting up a money on your project which is not satisfying the market. And that one is Paratus and the others, they are in. Yeah, because they are good because of the fiber.
Yeah.
But the satellite, it is something different. Because remember, satellite is coming a long way since 1960s. So they because of the American regulation of communication, they were not wanted that those devices to work in terms of spying. So now when we come to us like Namibia now,
in terms of security, is that a
Terms of security, yeah, in terms of security,
yeah.
They were not wanted in something that is pinpointing it, because if you allow it in them to using those to manufacturing those devices, they might end up pinpointing it where you are, like in Pentagon and others and those areas where they are making bombs and all of those things. They were not wanted it until 1969, I think. So when they are approving the SR-71, the spy plane, spy jet,
I can't. You're right. There's something I read. I'm not, and I might not actually representing it fairly. There was something, I don't know which country, where the kind of like, you know, like the Boko Haram kind of group using this, you know, to be able to get information and things like that. So it became easier for them actually to access information and all that. I think something, I can't remember the story quite
well. Yeah.
It was linked to something like that. Yeah.
Because like me, I'm a security guy. I learn a lot about security and all of that. So to look at now, because there was a time that the government asked me also a question like that. If you look at between Belgium and United Kingdom, about the legal license operator, which is now Starlink is applying for the European countries. Most of the Belgians, they want it. But if you look at in UK, where they know that we are a target of the world enemy, we might end up selling out ourselves here. Because remember those things now, Starlink, the Americans, the one that is allowing those devices to go in the world through customs and what. They know where they are going. and those serial numbers is the one that they are following it. So if you are using it between Okongo and Ngurengure, and they want to know what is that area is, they go through your devices. So yeah, those are now the things that country like Namibia, in terms of security and what, because we are Nana enemy, Nana friendly, what. So those are now the things that is it good? Yes, it is good because telecommunication companies they are let us down to have access.
Yeah.
Because people they wanting to do their, for example, now we look at the communal land. There is a lot of farming activity, which is people they want to uploading their status,
exactly,
how far with their product and all of that. Yeah. Yes, it can work for that purpose. But if you look at in the report of the world, starting with the SpaceX, they are moving fast. They're making the world to move fast.
Yeah.
And the people like me, they cannot allow that because if you look at in the day, the growing of the human being, it might end up 0.3 to grow. But if you're making the world to be moving fast the way the SpaceX and starting doing, we might end up destroying the world.
Yeah.
As I say now,
I said at one point we will destroy ourselves. It is ourselves going to actually destroy this world.
But you are exposing. You have no more security.
Yeah.
You see that? You are exposing yourself. Starting is not something that, and leading about the satellite number, that is 9W1 or 12, or 11-2. It's a number that has been in there for years. You understand?
Yeah.
But for them to pinpointing it that I'm in Namibia and I'm stuck in the desert, I need somebody into sending it. They will not tracking where you are. Because there are no communication straight pointing to your phone. But if now there is a device that are pinpointing where I am, it's easy for them to destroy us. Especially the Islam that we are having.
Yeah.
The terrorists that we are having on the system. So we must also think about the security before we do our benefit.
What do you think Karen will do? You know, what is more likely? Just your thinking. What is more likely Clan to do next year?
Clan is not the biggest entity into making decisions such as those ones. Because I remember when the people were applying, DSTV were applying this cell phone DSTV thing. They allowed people to put in money on that. And in few days' time, the thing is gone. They cannot sustain it because of the network towers that they don't have.
Yeah.
So they might end up doing the same of saying, because remember now there be three companies that are challenging Clan to approving this. Telecom, MTC, and Paratus. The biggest is Telecom to blaming that. You don't even increasing those the towers for you to making money out of it.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the report of the profit of MTC about calling, the callers, I don't know whether it's also including telecom or something, they're making 659 million, and the revenue is also good because of calling, but not about the internet.
Yeah.
You understand? People, they want to use the internet, but at the end of the day, these things are just eroding. So they're just consume my data. But I'm not getting what I want. So those are now the things that may, as I said, the entity is too small to make a decision because they make a decision according to the data that they have in hand, which is now, people out there, they give them their reason that, you know, we are in doing this activity that is can making money or can generating GDP.
Yeah.
For example, the example that I giving you, or Congo, Ngurengure, farming area, communal farming area. So But if you look at Chozonjupa or Chuarongo Kanya area for the farming, all those guys in the full 5G network. So which is now totally different. You are allowing others to be left behind, and you are proving others to moving with the world.
Mm.
So that is, Karana may end up not having a choice, but to allow things to happen. But in the terms of the state security, that's another issue which I'm saying. I have a problem with that because Namibia is one who is mentoring in those.
Yeah, so, because the whole question of, I mean, this is a question I ask also, where is the data of Namibians using Starlink actually stored? And that's a huge question about, and that's about control and national security.
Yeah. You know? And they're making also a mistake into putting that the young minister to do that, because the security is coming first in anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
If you don't have a person who has a history of security, you will not make it.
Yeah.
That's why a country like Nigeria, they will not take out themselves from that problem of Islam. And it is happening also in some part of Europe, because they are doing this with young people. They thought it's a better, they are moving the world, but my brother, you are destroying the world. So those are the type of things I'm saying. If you look at 1960s, when the people were talking about how to spy in Soviet Union and all of that, they were not saying, no, we cannot manufacturing the device. If you're using the device will come and biting us. Because most enemies, they have more enemies than the Soviet Union at the time. And this is the same progress countries, they are enemy of the Islam. Mm. If they don't know about it, that is what they need to know. Who are the enemy of the Islam? It's countries that are progress, that are learning their governance in peace. So those are now the things that I'm warning the people out there, that it's better for them to push in the telecom, to increasing the tower, or the government itself must be investing more to those network towers. Because if you look at what's happening to why Ukraine was destroyed by Russia, it's because of Starlink.
Yeah.
The pinpoint of the Ukraine are using the Starlink, and Russia, they are directed by the Starlink, by those devices. So the rocket, you are launching it from Moscow, to go straight where that thing is, you are already in the problem. That's why all those big bridges in Ukraine were destroyed because of the Starlink. And that is what also India were facing, because India saw that there is a lot of Starlink in the country. Yeah. And who are letting the government? It's a military that they said, no, there is in some signing which is interrupting our locate in the country. And who are these people? They said starting. You see now, those are the problems that I'm saying. You must think twice when we are involving on those type of wars.
But do we have people to really alert us to this danger? Do we have the expert to make us, you know, understand that there is this danger? You know,
I don't know whether we have them in the Namibian state security, because we were having recognized those guys before when we were in the 90s. We were having them because we have a lot of spies that we were training at the time.
Yeah.
So for now, I don't know whether in technology terms, whether we have those people that they are observing the technologies. I said, if you look at 1963, we have a different thing that is we're talking about, that it might end up biting us. So for now, technology is where the problem is. You know why the Americans are not scared of the Chinese?
Yeah.
Because the data that they have, most of the young Chinese are spending hours in the library than to spending hours in the workshop. You see now, they are reading information that was uploaded by the Americans because of AI.
Yeah.
So now, this one, they know who is ahead of innovation. It's Americans. So whatever we are copying, whatever we are manufacturing, is come from the American. Americans, they are way far from Chinese. Because the Chinese, they're coming to making that idea that was introduced by the Americans.
Yeah.
So it's because of the AI information that is, you are just Google it and everything is coming. So you are going to confirm it in the library to see, oh, this is what they say, this is what we are also saying. So you see now, those are the problems I'm saying. I don't know whether the state security have been those type of people or they are just in cyber security that they are talking about when you are attacked in the computer crashing and all of that.
Mm.
But a problem. That is where the issue is. The lines, that's why you see, it was not, if the Americans were regulating like before, they could not allow a satellite to be using on that. Because even Trump, we're talking about that. No, we don't need a spy anymore. We're needing a defense that can be basing on the space station. Yeah. You see now what they are talking about. It's easy to destroying you because they are using the space station. They are using the image of the space station. So they are no more using NASA or any other GPRS like Google Map and what.
Yeah.
They are just in view from there. So those are another discussion of deep understanding why we are, who are in concern about security, that the internet is the biggest exposure of the security what you are trying to hide.
Yeah.
So Mike, because of the time, I know this thing you need more debating, but not this type of
exactly.
Just saying, you know, thank you for that.
No, thanks for coming through.
You're welcome.
I'll wait 333-66091 if you want to come through and have your say as well, you know, and have your perspective. All right, so we're looking at we were looking at, you know, why, you know, some, those 16 oppose of these, what could be the possible reasons, you know, so as I said, we talked about the concern of regulations and sovereignty, you know, how does CRAN, our regulator, ensure that Starlink, play by the same rules? Are they gonna be played by the same rule? Can they enforce consumer protection law? You know? So where is the data of Namibian using Starlink, actually stored? So, and as I said, these are the huge, huge questions about control and national security that can't be ignored. We cannot really be ignored, those kind of things. The third, there's the economic, how you call it, economic leakage argument. The profit Starlink make, is where does it go? You know, the profit that they make in Namibia, where will it go? Where they go? You know? Likely, straight out to the country, straight out of the country, you know, back to the headquarters, wherever the headquarters is, whether in South Africa or is in the state. So this is different, and that's very different from the local companies. Local company reinvest its profit right here in our economy. Maybe those are other things that we need to look at as well. So the opposition isn't necessary against better internet, I think. You know, when you look at that and what also the caller was saying. I think the opposition is not necessary against better internet. It's a call for a fair fight. So it's a call for a fair fight. How do we have a fair fight? It's a demand for a level playing field where Starlink has the same obligation as every other players in the market. So it should be that, you know, And the fact is, this is not just a Namibian story. This is not just a Namibian story. Across Africa, you know, from Zambia to Zimbabwe, you know, governments are grappling with Starlink. Yeah? They are really grappling with Starlink. So some have banned it. There are those who have banned it. Others have embraced it, you know. So it's a classic dilemma. It's a very classic dilemma. The tension between disruptive innovation and protecting established local industries, there's that tension, you know. I don't know how CREN will go, you know. So, and historically, Namibia has sometime been cautious with new tech. We have been really cautious with the new tech, wanting to understand it fully before jumping in. But this public response, now we have a public response that shows a significant shift in attitude, you know. So the people are saying the potential benefit of this technology outweigh the perceived risk. Basically, that's what it says. So they are pushing the regulator to be more agile, you know? Yeah, to be more agile, to find a way to make it work for Namibia's benefit. So, and this also speaks to a growing impatience, you know, as probably what the caller allude to. So our national development goals all speak about digital transformation. So NDP6 also speaks about transformation. So digital transformation. And the public is now essentially saying, you know, here is the tool that can actually deliver that transformation. You know, don't stand in the way. Yeah? So here is the tool, you know, don't stand in the way. All right. So the pressure is now squarely on CREN. You know, they are in a very, very, I think, difficult position. Maybe not, but from the way things look, they have to balance this overwhelming public demand with their primary duty, you know, to regulate the market fairly and ensure it is long-term stability. So, they can't just say yes without putting in place stringent condition to address those substantive issues from the 16 opposers. So there must be some stringent condition really to also address those issues. So the process now is that Starlink will get all this comment and have 14 days to respond. So their response will be crucial. How will they address concern about local investment, you know, customer services and data sovereignty? Those are issues that, you know, how will they address those things? How will they address local investment? How will they address local services? I mean, customer services. How will they address data sovereignty? So would they offer partner, with local companies as a requirement, you know, would they set up a local office and employ Namibians? Please, I want to be part of that. So their answers will make or break this application, definitely, you know. So the reason I say I want to be part of that, I want American dollars, you know. I thought they would pay in American dollars. So where does this leave us, you know, dear listeners? What is the real world impact? So the Starlink if it's licensed, we could see a revolution in connectivity, especially in remote areas. But it will come at a cost. You know, the hardware, that satellite dish is expensive upfront. It will be expensive. It might not be, the immediate solution for every household, but for business, as the caller say, farmers and lodges in those rural areas, it could be a game changing, you know, investment. So for the existing mobile operators, this is a wake-up call. It is a wake-up call, a massive 99% wake-up call. The public has clearly stated that they want better, that they want more affordable services. So this competition should, in theory, force MTC, Telecom, Bharatus, you know, to innovate fast. Yeah, you must start innovating, improve their services, and maybe even lower their prices to compete. Yeah, that would be a win for everyone. That would be a win for one. Ultimately, the story is about democracy in action. Cran asked for public comment. The public responded in a way that cannot be ignored. So it shows that when given a platform, you know, Namibians are deeply engaged in issues that affect their future. So, yeah, well, the public has spoken, but the regulator must now do its complex job. The decision expected by the end of March next year will be one of the most significant in our digital history. So, what kind of internet future do you want for Namibia? Should global player freely enter our market, or should we protect local company first? So, and that actually important. And most importantly, how do we make sure everyone from Katutura to Katwitwi get connected in a way that is fair, that is affordable, and that is sustainable? So, well, let's continue the conversation where we found ourselves, you know. So, and that's bring us to the end of our unpacking the day. We are going to cross now to Windhoek, to Tate Frans for Kuthamosha. So, well, let's do this again tomorrow at the same time here on the same station on Eagle FM. So, from me, Maya Koshavelli, I wish you a pleasant day ahead. And let's talk again on a different topic tomorrow at the same time. Goodbye for now.